This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
Earlier this week, news organisations from around Australia joined forces to launch the Right to Know Coalition. The coalition brings together the ABC, Nine News, News Corp, The Guardian and a range of other media organisations. The slightly unusual alliance of organisations that are often at odds with one another emerged after police raids against journalists at News Corp and the ABC shocked media and Australians in general. The coalition is seeking reform of a range of laws that reduce free speech and the ability of journalists to do their jobs, and The Informer is proud to support the coalition. Paul Karp is a reporter at The Guardian. We asked him about the practical impacts that the various laws have had on his ability to do his job.
Well, obviously, at the most serious end, you have national security laws that criminalise both public servant whistleblowers who might leak classified information, but it also criminalises the receipt of that and reporting on that. So that would be the most serious thing, and that's what sparked raids of Annika Smethurst's home and the ABC headquarters. On the less likely to put you in prison, but extremely frustrating for reporters, because it means that we can't deliver the truth to our audiences and, subject departments to scrutiny, would be things like the Freedom of Information laws, where you have incredibly lengthy delays, redacting masses and masses of documents, refusals, unreasonable refusals, high costs to get documents, that just make it a very poor accountability mechanism.
And has it now become part of day-to-day discourse in terms of, say, the risk of being raided? Those raids in particular and the laws that effectively criminalise journalists doing their job, have you found yourself in situations where, I don't know whether, whether those risks stop the story from proceeding?
I've had stories that are based on public service leaks that Section 70 of the Crimes Act would have put the whistleblower in line for potential prosecution, like an anonymous leak about a Rohingyan refugee that Peter Dutton accepted, and one of the rare instances that he'd done that. In that case, it was of a level of classification that I wouldn't have got in trouble, but that person that sent it to me took on a risk. At the higher end, Catherine Murphy had a story about that was classified as Osteo, Australian Eyes Only, about Australia moving the embassy in Israel, and that's another example of a document of a level of classification that can attract potential prosecution.
And is there also a problem here? I worked in kind of TV newsrooms and radio, and I imagine print newsrooms, the rhythms will be different to different degrees, but I think it's certainly true that journalism across the board, journalists are increasingly busy and having to do more with less time. Is there also a problem with, even if it might be that it's hard to pinpoint exactly how you might get into trouble with some of these stories, that the potential risk, whether it be to yourself or to potential whistleblowers, is enough to reduce the benefits of going after a story?
Well, the biggest impact of these laws is the stories that aren't told as a result of them. So, I mean, I have no way of measuring, how many people are deterred from ever speaking out because of this threat. But on a day-to-day basis, when you speak to public servants, off the record, they express this concern that even if they think that there's something going wrong, that they're not going to, that they fear for their jobs if they provide more specific information to you that could be the basis for a story. So, you rub up against it. You rub up against it quite frequently, and there are aspects of the public service that then don't get subjected to scrutiny as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of FOIs, I think this is a space that's hard for a general listening audience to get their heads around. So, can you just talk us through basically how that process used to work and what is happening now and why it's so damaging?
Well, I've been a journalist for about 7 years, and I can't think of a good old days where they coughed up information willingly. But I can describe what happens when you put in a freedom of information request.
Yeah, that'd be great.
you generally either get back a heavily redacted document with all sorts of carve outs that they don't have to produce. Any advice that was a deliberative matter that, might have been written for the purpose of discussion in cabinet. So that's quite a large carve-out. And so you get a heavily redacted document, or they refuse it outright. And then there's a lengthy period of challenging that. You can go for an internal review, which generally comes back with the same decision, or you can go to the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner, which takes months even to allocate it to a case officer to start a review. And by the time that that's done and submissions are made, it can be after a year maybe that you'll get a decision out of them. And if you don't like that, you can go to the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. But if you think about some of the reporting, Lisa Martin's reporting of the au pairs, that was a case that involved going all the way to the AAT to get material that was supposed to be produced under freedom of information, and that took over a year to do that.
Yeah, and this is so challenging as well, because this legislation was designed to increase transparency and create these reasonable processes, but now it does seem like it is being used to create a barrier to transparency, or effectively it is not being delivered. Can you also, is defamation law something that has an impact on your work?
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be the biggest impact. And that is one that I can think of stories that I've written that didn't run because of that. It's more easy to think of examples of that than high level national security leaks, for sure. So basically, Australia has the most plaintiff friendly defamation law in the world. There are defences for journalists, the main one being qualified privilege. If something turns out to be wrong, you do still have a defence if publication was reasonable in the circumstances, but it's basically impossible to access that defence. It's very hard to establish. So if there was difficulty contacting someone for comment, for response, and you run something, it has to be absolutely correct, or you're exposed to an enormous liability, which is why publishers quite reasonably set a very high standard to avoid that risk.
Absolutely, and as well, where someone has deep pockets, and I'm actually going to avoid even naming specific individuals because they are so avid about suing other people. If someone happened to be, say, a billionaire who simply wanted to shut down any kind of investigations of their affairs, they can afford to run defamation lawsuits. But defending defamation lawsuits, even if you win, is so incredibly costly. It can cost millions of dollars, to hire the necessary lawyers.
Fortunately, I have worked for very cautious and responsible publishers, and have never have never been sued, but it's a constant concern. And the high profile cases that we've seen, you know, Jeffrey Rush and Rebel Wilson, looking at the size of costs in those matters, although you can argue that the reporting could have been more responsible in those cases, it's hard to look at the amount that they were ordered to pay and conclude from that anything other than that it's incredibly prohibitive and a big legal risk that publishers take on.
So what are the goals? What are the goals of this campaign, Paul?
Yeah, so there are six aims that the media companies are asking for, which is in the national security space, the ability to contest warrants on journalists and media organisations, and exemptions for journalists from laws that criminalise the work of journalism. More protection for public sector whistleblowers, limits on which documents can be stamped as secret, so the government just doesn't get to decide that in a way that's unchallengeable and they get to decide always. A proper freedom of information system and reform of defamation law. So those are the six aims, but it's important to note that while a lot of those are directed to our day-to-day practices journalists, the reason that we're asking for those things is so that we can, you know, uncover wrongdoing and bring the stories to our audience. It's not privileges that we're speaking for ourselves as professionals because, you know, we want to make our working lives easier. It's these are things that are practically needed to give the public a meaningful right to know what's being done.
Absolutely. It's a very worthwhile campaign. And obviously, as a news current affairs show, the Informer is solidly behind. Paul, thank you very much for joining us here in The Informer.
And that was Paul Karp from The Guardian.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.